Hello and welcome to Tech Plus, another edition ready for you. It's the mid-month edition for March. It's Ian with you and also Kane. Kane, how's it going, man? How was your week?
Oh, it's going well, man. It's a good week. I mean, we still have this beautiful weather, so you can't be too sad about anything, you know, when it's like this.
It's like almost in between at the moment. It's the best of both worlds. Bit of summer, bit of winter.
It's good to be in the pool.
Yeah, it's still nice to be in the pool.
A bit earlier now, you're feeling that yet? Do you feel that sinking in? I hate it so much. I like it when it gets dark late. I like the 8 p.m. It's still light. Oh, yeah. My uncle in Ireland will always tell me during his summer, he'll be like, it gets dark there at 11 p.m.
You know? Wow.
And that's like, whoa, how do you even fathom that? But they also have daylight savings, so they
drive it
even further into it, because they want to maximize the amount of light you get, you know? So I think that's very, very cool. Hopefully it stays like this for a little bit longer.
So this week, I think probably one of the biggest stories and something we experienced was the internet outage problem that we had this week. It started around Wednesday or Thursday, and it's been persisting on and off, you know. But before it actually happened, I didn't notice anything on my internet, and everybody was having trouble. However, later on, there was a pop-up on the Checkers 6060 app saying that they're aware of internet problems and also with the payment system, and that's when I was wondering what's happening. And that's when I realized, you know, so it's all to do with undersea cables, eh? And I mean, this was so severe, I won't mention the name, but it actually took a radio station in South Africa off the air for half a day.
Wow.
Because of the internet situation.
Imagine you in your car and you tune into a station and it's just static.
And there was silence. So not static, it was just
radio silence.
Like dead air, like there was silence. You could hear there was a reserved frequency, but the carrier wave, there was just silence because of the internet problem.
Wow.
So I think they're probably investigating backups as we speak, you know, especially being such a big station and having millions of rand, and you can't even stay on when the internet goes down, which is quite interesting.
It is interesting.
All the other stations kept going, so I was a bit curious about how that works, but I won't say too much, ask too much. Anyway, did you notice it?
Funny enough, I didn't, and I think some hints might be that the people that are running the internet and making sure that we all have internet have backup plans in place, so that when things like this happen, they can reroute the traffic. So you might experience things like latency, which is essentially the process that if you're connecting to an endpoint in Europe, and now that route to get from A to B is now, you know, not working as well anymore. We can go to B, but we have to go through C or D or E, and depending how significant the break and the destination of data we're trying to get from, it can be kind of like you're trying to go A to Z to B.
Yeah,
you're taking a far route off. So in this case, we see there is some intermittency. You might see some streaming buffering. You might see a page take some lag time to load up. You might find that a WhatsApp call drops randomly.
Yep.
Or at least it starts really stuttering out. You know, you have those moments of really bad signal, but you're like, I'm on fiber, so how's this possible? You know, what's going on?
I stopped saying that.
So that's where you can see a lot of that type of stuff. Is you're going to see it in things that need to get from A to B quickly, like playing games and things like that, watching movies, you know, waiting for responsive internet might prove to be the only thing you really feel. That being said, the only thing that really gets to me is, like, Nisnon even went on in an email to say that South Africa is basically functioning at half of its usual international capacity. That is quite a significant impact. To lose 50% of your bandwidth basically is going to cause some issues. But for some reason I think these things take a really long time to fix. I think when you're talking about what is essentially an underwater cable that's traveling hundreds, if not thousands, of kilometers underwater,
where do you even begin?
Is 3,000 meters under the water. And some guy with his massive cargo ship has just laid anchor on top of it.
Whoops.
And just ripped it apart. And some guy's sitting there with his welding machine, like, how do you expect me to go fix that in 10 minutes, you know? So it's a big process to fix. And apparently, I mean, it's enough that it's three kilometers underwater to get to this cable. But if you go up 3,000 meters and you're at the surface of the water, there's an active conflict zone there. So they can't necessarily just go in there and do some diving and go fix the cable because, you know, there's a high conflict zone. So it's not essentially the safest thing or the politically easiest thing
to do. It's 2024. Why are we still doing cables? I mean, that's really old-fashioned. Shouldn't we just be purely satellite by now?
Yeah, Elon Musk sitting there laughing.
Yeah, don't you think, like, cables under the sea, don't you think it's a bit old-fashioned?
It is old-fashioned, but it works very well.
It's so analog, man.
It is analog. It's very like, you know, in the day and age that we are, you would be like, wait. We connect to the internet via a cable that goes from one continent to the other. Like, it's a physical cable. Imagine I told you, you know, hey, you know, Elon, you're in South Africa. I'm in America. Just run me an extension quick for some power. I'm actually at the tip of South
exactly.
America. If you throw it really hard, I might be able to catch. Like, how do you even go about...
It's asking for trouble, man. I think it would be much better and faster and less prone to interference if it's just satellite. When are we doing that, I wonder?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen how hard it is to get Starlink into South Africa.
I suppose
Africa.
It's not so easy.
So the tech is here, but there are some barriers to entry that we're currently dealing with.
Yeah, but imagine people with online businesses and stuff, you know, losing money and stuff because of this ship that parked on top of the...
drew an anchor through the cable.
Yeah.
Man, I'd be so angry. It's not like someone taking your parking kind of thing, you know?
Imagine like...
It's like, imagine, it's like the equivalent of being at your house and someone drives into like your internet exchange or something and knocks out a couple houses internet, except here it's the whole country. It's like, hey, Mr. Cargo Ship, what's up, dude? How can you do that to us?
Yeah. That was funny.
So next up, we have. Can you imagine you've laid anchor and you just suddenly the ship moves a bit? You're like, what was that? It's the whole of South Africa can't connect. You know? It's like tragic. In other news, we have the MacBook Air M3 launching in South Africa. Anybody who's a MacBook fan and keeps track of it will be happy to hear that the M3 is launching in South Africa. And we've got the starting price. A solid 26,000 rand starting for the Mac. That's just the MacBook Air lowest end. I mean, you can go to the highest end of the MacBook Air, which is going to make you feel a little bit sick to your stomach because it's only 40,000 rand for the top end MacBook Air. And that's not even the MacBook Pro. Like, we haven't even gotten to the MacBook that's supposed to be the big expensive one. I don't even want to know what the prices are. I don't have those prices, so if you're expecting them, haha, sorry for you. But we don't have, 26,000 rand. Let me put it one way. It's an extremely powerful piece of technology, put it that way. It's extremely curated to you as a business professional, and it will not disappoint you. But it's here now, the M3, and I'd love to hear if anybody in the audience actually has their hands on one of them, and do they think it was worth upgrading if you have upgraded. I find it difficult to go from something like I would really struggle to buy a 30,000 rand laptop and upgrade a year from then. You know, to upgrade a year later is a bit crazy. But yeah. I think every 2 years, if you have a piece of tech like that, it holds its value pretty well. You're probably able to sell your current and buy the new one without too much damage. And I think Apple has some pretty crazy bring in and sell your tech straight back to Apple and get a discount off your next product kind of service. So that's also an option there. We've also got another thing launching in South Africa. I mean, South Africa is getting it all right now. The PlayStation 5 Slim is launching in South Africa.
PlayStation 5, yo.
So I don't know if you remember the fat PlayStation 2.
Mm.
Remember there used to be a PlayStation 2 and it was so fat. It was a massive one.
Mm-hmm.
And it became blatantly obvious how big this was when a few years later the PlayStation 2 Slim came out. And that thing was like it's literally the difference between like a little school writing book and literally an encyclopedia of thickness. So here comes out the PS5 Slim, and I must say, I mean, there are some seriously good prices on this thing. The interesting thing is there is some changes, but there's no performance-based changes. It's just size. It's like 34% lighter and 18%, you know, cooler, and all these other kind of elements that they that they've brought into it. But for the PS5 Slim, you can now buy a detachable or a modular DVD reader. So in the past, you, if you wanted to save money buying a PlayStation 5, you would buy it without the disc reader. That way you can't put discs in, but you can still have the PS5 and you can just buy everything online.
Yeah.
When they released the PS5 Slim, they basically let you detach or attach the actual DVD reader. And that's pretty cool because PlayStation 5s have Blu-ray readers.
Yeah.
So if you want the absolute best quality video, audio is obviously going to be subject to whatever audio system you have. But if you want some of the absolute best video potential, Blu-ray is an extremely good player of that kind of content. So apparently the PS5 Slim is going to be starting at about 12,000 Rand or 11,999, while the PS5 Slim with the DVD reader is going to be about 14,000 Rand or 13,999. But here's the crazy part. That's the recommended retail price. But if we just look at the current PS5s that aren't the PS5 Slims, if we just look at the normal PS5s, Kloppers is selling the original digital console for massively under that value at 9,600 Rand.
Yeah,
getting
okay.
a PS5 for 9,600 Rand is not bad. An incredible connection offering it for 10,500 Rand with two controllers, whereas Kloppers had one controller. So there's some food for thought there. If you are thinking of buying a PS5, it might be worth doing that now. If you didn't want to buy a PS5 because you thought it might be a bit too big or too bulky, well, here's your time now. And it's a great console. You know, I can speak from experience. It's an incredible console. So there you go. PS5 Slim hit South Africa finally. And you know what else has hit South Africa? Unfortunately, not the whole of South Africa, but specifically Cape Town. And that is, you know, when you've got to go and get solar installed on your house in Cape Town before now today, before, you know, a day or two ago, you would have to go and apply with the municipality to basically have the solar panels installed.
Not even mentioning if you're in a complex, that's even worse.
Then you need to get, you know, homeowners association and the homeowners
got
association.
Got the whole body corporate
and your
up in
needs
arms.
To confirm it as well, you know, otherwise they might complain to the homeowners association.
Yeah, exactly. Not easy.
But Cape Town has now kind of slashed home solar approval times with an online portal. I love it when they do that. I'm just waiting for them to be able to do driver's license renewals and, you know, driver's applications and do all that online. I don't know why I have to go in and wait.
Yeah, no, that's the worst.
The most amount of time ever known to man. You have to literally take a day and be like, I'm going to put a day to booking something at this.
You have to take a day off for this, definitely.
And that's taking a day off and arriving early.
Yeah.
Shame if you are 2 hours late. Actually, you know what? Sometimes you get luckier. You'll go there like 2 hours later and the big amount of people waiting at the beginning of the day have thinned out and the people coming in the afternoon haven't arrived yet. But in this case now, for Cape Town residents, you can simply apply for your solar installation directly via an online portal. Save your time, save yourself the half a day and just install it whenever you get approval. If you don't get approval, when in doubt, apply again. Got to keep trying. But would you get solar if you
absolutely
you would do it, eh?
But I'm in a complex.
Why would you think that they're not going to let you do it?
I haven't even started yet.
Really?
The people in the complex can afford solar, but nobody, you know, my complex only recently got freaking fiber. That's we're behind. Okay?
Recently transitioned out the ice age.
Yeah, but I know that I think in your complex I've seen some solar panels.
Yes.
So obviously it's allowed there, or maybe it's frowned upon, but
I think they just come, like, I hear about Cape Town asking for permission and what. I think here they just slap them on. I don't even think there's a procedure to this stuff. And even my inverter, I mean, we don't have it installed to the house and we don't send the power back to the house. We have like a portable inverter that we move around. Yeah, it's a hassle, but it works really well and it got us backup power without having to wait months potentially for approval, because that's the reality of it. If you're someone that's sitting at home who's really frustrated about load shedding, that wants to do a proper solar installation but hasn't got approval yet, I'm telling you, there's a way that you can literally just get a battery, get an inverter, get it a trolley, put them all together, or just buy a pre-configured system and get the solar panels later.
Yeah, listen to this guy.
Do the certified installation later. Just have it all worked out on wheels and just power your house through an extension cable or two. It's a hassle to run them, but I've been doing it for like a year and a half. It's fine.
And it's working for you. It keeps the stuff on.
And then when you have 10,000 Rand or 5,000, 8,000 Rand and you can buy 15,000 Rands worth of solar panels or 10,000 Rands worth of solar panels, then go mad. Then go get everybody involved and go and do the installation and get the certification and go through them and do all of that stuff.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, lots of red tape.
But if you're going to be going big batteries and stuff and still doing that process, if you're going over 2 kVA, I just wouldn't do the portable thing. Unless you're buying a pre-configured system and you're very confident you know what you're doing and you're doing a manual system, yeah. But I'm telling you now, we as people have very little understanding or at least comprehension of how much power is in like a 2 kVA battery.
Yeah.
It's enough to... If you touch positive and negative together, you're gonna get woken up.
You'll wake up in another lifetime.
You have to be careful. It can run your kettle for it will run your kettle
really?
Will run for a few seconds. Who knows how long?
Wow.
It could even go for. Technically, if you have a 1,000-watt kettle and you have a 1 kVA battery, you can run a kettle for an hour. Technically,
but you never realize how heavy kettles and geysers and stuff are until you have to link them to some form of backup system.
2 AA batteries aren't going to charge
you.
You
never realize it when you switch on the kettle. You know, you look at the kettle, it's quite small, you know, if it's like a little plastic kettle. I mean, what, like 2 liters or whatever, 1 point something liters? How can it be so heavy? You look at the element inside, it's small, it can't be so heavy. Freaking hell, you put it on a backup thing and it sucks the whole thing dry in seconds.
Well, that's what's crazy to me is I can turn my PC on and I'll use 250 watts of power. Just keeping 3 screens on, 2 keyboards, mouse, computer, you know, some lights and stuff. Like the whole, it'll use like 250 watts and that's a lot.
It is.
You know, it's not that much compared to what I'm about to tell you. So... that uses 250 watts. If I try and get as much out of the PC as possible, I do some rendering, I really try turn my lights up to the brightest, just absolutely try and use as much power as possible. From just my one computer, my 3 screens and everything, I'll use like 500 watts, maybe 550 watts. But a kettle uses 4 times that.
You can't believe this small thing.
4 computers working as hard as possible is how much that power that kettle's using. It's a lot of power.
It takes a lot to boil the water.
And your geyser's like 6.
No, let's not
PCs
even...
running full tilt. It's just wild.
A lot of people have these backup systems at home, but they can't switch on. I think maybe they can do the kettle, but they can't do the geyser or the stove or the oven.
Yeah,
it's too heavy.
Inverter killer.
And the geyser, definitely not the geyser. And I think a hairdryer is also frowned upon. Because that thing's also, you get some hairdryers are like 2,000 watts.
Yeah, and you have to also be careful because sometimes people will connect the inverter to the wall and then they'll connect the appliances to the inverter. So then you might connect a... you know, you might connect a heater or something to the inverter, but you think, but it's connected to the wall. But an inverter can only handle so much power going through it. So
exactly.
Then it's also going to run into conflicts and problems.
I'm sure people have experimented with it and trial and error and, you know.
I definitely think so. Are we going for a music break?
Absolutely. And then we're back with more Tech Plus. And we're back with more Tech Plus for you on this Saturday. If you just joined us, hello and welcome. Kane, what have you got for us next?
So we were talking about our internet outage, right? But we weren't the only country, or even the only business, I'd say is a better term, that experienced some sort of outage technologically.
Ooh.
McDonald's is back online after an international outage.
Ooh.
The Wall Street Journal, BBC, Nine News, and other outlets reported that McDonald's technology outlet, quote unquote, temporarily closed restaurants in Australia, Hong Kong, Japan, New Zealand, and the UK. There's no word on any specific impact in the US yet, but I mean, imagine you have a technological failure that knocks not just one store out, but many stores in many countries across the world. As an individual, where do you go first? Which problem do you solve first?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where to start.
There's literally thousands of kilometers that separate these problems. And they had that outage and they've come back online now. When I see something like that, I don't think like, an update went wrong. That's a bit suspicious.
But what is going on here? What is with all these outages? Last week we had the massive Facebook and Instagram outage as well.
Yeah, I know. It's
everything is offline, eh?
It's like they say,
I thought it was a South African thing. The system is offline, but now it's a worldwide thing.
So, you know, when I read the news and I'm going through space stuff, I always read about this big solar flare is coming and it's going to disrupt technology. This is what technology disruption feel like, but it doesn't seem to be coming from a solar flare. So
but I read somewhere, you know, it just shows us how vulnerable these systems are. You know, it doesn't take a lot to get them offline. And then the repercussions of when they go off, it's quite, you know, like a ripple effect.
I always make a joke with my colleagues. I'm like, it feels like it's built on pickup sticks.
It is, yeah.
It feels like it's just, have you ever tried to build a house out of cards? It's just,
yeah.
It's a, you a need little to be breeze patient.
There it goes. But it is, eh? And it feels so solid, you know. And I also stopped saying, you know, no, but I've got fiber, you know. That doesn't mean anything. You can't say that anymore.
Remember when we were speaking about Elon Musk's shuttle that was going to try and make it to space? Starship, SpaceX's Starship.
Mm-hmm.
And they launched it the first time and it exploded.
Yeah.
And they launched it the second time and it exploded.
Yeah.
So they've launched it a third time and this time it didn't explode right away.
It
exploded a little bit later than it last time.
Okay, that's a little progress. But I love the perseverance, hey? They're going to keep going.
But they achieved feats that have never been achieved. Heaviest object in space.
Wow.
They made it to orbit. They actually crashed on re-entry. They didn't crash on exit.
Okay, that's definitely progress.
So they went out the atmosphere. They made it into orbit. They did their re-entry. And I'll tell you what, when you have an object that is that heavy re-entering the Earth's atmosphere, I think their failure was from overheating. I think it got too hot. But when you see the cameras, and this is the craziest thing to me, is when I feel like if you move into a new house, right, and you start being the handyman in the house and you fix this and then you fix that and you fix the tap and you fix this leaky roof and you fix that and you do this and you make your life easier in all these different places, one day you get up and you walk through this house and your coffee makes itself and the leaks fix themselves and there's nothing, you know, everything is just working how you want it to work. So when Elon Musk is sending his Starship into space, guess what's keeping us visually informed about what's going on? It's his Starlink internet mesh.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's keeping this video signal going so that we can watch. So
that's
while
amazing.
He's launching his rocket, which is a different venture, his other venture is helping him stay connected to the rocket. This man has just been handymanning all of these little businesses of his until one day they just work together.
Yeah, and then he uses Twitter or X to communicate and talk
send
about
it out.
Yeah.
And then someone with a Neuralink chip in his brain is going to be flying the thing. It's all going to link
it's
up.
Actually, all linked very beautifully.
It's going to be like the Elon network.
Yeah.
The Elon-gated network.
This guy's having fun, eh? He's having fun.
Yeah, and while this is happening, preparing for all this, he goes and sues OpenAI. And sues them. He's got I'm not sure if it's the SEC or the FTC, but he's got someone high on his tails trying to get him to basically... Yeah, the SEC is basically trying to attempt to get this guy into a interview so that they can further investigate his Twitter acquisition, because apparently he owned quite a large portion of stock even before the acquisition, which was like undeclared. So they've got like some question marks.
Ooh.
And Elon Musk's lawyers are very good at not... So they tried to get him to do it once and they couldn't get him to do it. They tried to get him to do it again and he sued them for harassment. And now they're trying to do it again. So we don't know what's exactly going to happen, but they're trying very, very hard. Did you hear about the Kate Middleton thing?
Oh, man.
How whack is that?
No, come on. You know,
it's all over the place.
When I had it in the news, I actually said at the end of it, I actually said, it really must be a slow news day to really go on about a story like that.
Tell you what, though. I've been working in photo manipulation and in AI generative and stuff like that for quite some time now. And, you know, working with these tools and stuff. And I'll tell you what, that image most certainly has some scars from some heavy photo manipulation.
Yes, but
definitely.
I saw that she now admitted to editing the photo.
But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. This is what gets to me.
The theories out there.
The thing that when I heard about this, and it was like literally last night, so it's literally fresh. I heard about it. I look at the picture and I literally you see things as a person who does this often. You see things that are just
what did you see? I didn't notice like, anything.
For example, to be honest. In one of her where one of her hands are, yeah? where her sleeve meets her hand, you can actually see that something's wrong with that sleeve. It's like the sleeve is stopping before the hand. So you have the end of a sleeve and the start of a wrist.
Oh my
which is
word.
Very weird. The wrist is almost outside the sleeve, which is like uncomprehendable.
Sure.
But that where that is happening is where her hand is coming around holding one of her kids. So that is an area that if she was manipulated in would have been affected. So that's like the first thing that's like, that's pretty weird. And then there's another thing where one of the kids' skirts are just going into the air. Just imagine you connect your pants, but your pants are sitting like 2 inches away from your body. Like it's just propelled off of the body. It's not making, it doesn't end where your hip ends. It ends further on. It's not making sense. So that was the other thing. And I was like, that's very weird. Then her face just seems like there's a decent amount of improvements on the face. But
really, yeah.
Where her hands come around and hold onto her
is that
children
the giveaway?
Like that, it's all, there's all sorts of artifacts.
I must go and
also,
watch
if
again.
Also, you go look on the side of the photo where you see there's like a little step. And one thing that happens in AI a lot when you're doing this, it's called like content aware fill, or in the newest age, it's called generative fill. But it's basically the process of hiding something or taking something out of a photo. Maybe you've taken a photo and there's a random stranger in the photo and you...
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine you take a photo and in your background is just blue sky. So you take a photo of a person. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to remove someone from the photo because it's just blue skies in the background.
Yeah.
But if you're standing in front of a wooden house with the horizontal wooden beams and like 30 of them are in the frame and you're standing in front of that. Now, if I pull you out, I have all these lines from these beams of wood that are now should meet. The line should travel, it should meet. So you as a designer have to recreate that. You
actually
have to make sure that the lines track and follow.
Mm.
So when you look in the corner left of the image, there's a part where there's a stair and the line doesn't carry. The stair just is shifted down a bit randomly.
It's a sinkhole.
So looking at all of this, right, you have things that could be AI fill. You have like where they make a hand come out of nowhere, like they don't have a
That's
hand
creepy.
So they ask AI to make a hand and it looks a little bit strange. So you can always tell from the hand something's going on and there's something weird. In fact, I saw some people talk about one of the kids' hands, but that for me, I've seen messed up AI hands. It's not messed up. That the kid's just holding his hand weird. So that for me wasn't like a dead giveaway. But when I read Kate Middleton saying that this was her thing, she's like, I sometimes dabble in manipulating my photos. I'm like, what, you dabble in like the most professional level of photo manipulation? Like you just dabble in completely removing your...
Exactly.
Like, for me, the strange thing is like you took a photo. Now, if I take a photo of you or myself with friends and stuff and I optimize a photo, I'm going to optimize the photo to make myself look better. So it's just very strange for me that you would like replace one of your kids' hands as an example for the type of edits.
Yeah.
You know, or like, or remove something in the bottom right of the image. Like no one's looking there. It's like very bad.
She's
it's
got
like,
too much time. She's just sitting there in the palace.
The photo
you know?
Edits are like, there's no motive behind them. It wouldn't have made you look better or... Why would you like you took a photo with two of your kids and you wanted the third one in, so you just put them in. Like that I get, but to make like small changes to your clothing.
Did you see all the memes?
So many memes.
Have you seen the people were adding stuff, all these weird creatures around her that's been edited in and it makes it so easy that it's been edited in just because like white borders around and stuff.
Terrible job.
It's the worst photo. But yeah, so for those who don't know what we're talking about, obviously Kate Middleton posted, or the palace posted the photo of Kate, her first photo since she was in the hospital for the operation, the mystery operation. And that was the first photo of her with the kids. And then the media started picking up things aren't right with the photo, and they actually pulled the photo. And that led to Kate making a statement saying, no, she manipulated the photo. She was playing with it a bit. But
like playing with it a bit is changing the... Like have you ever played with your photo? You make the contrast,
that's
tone,
right.
The shadows, the highlights,
now,
the sharpening.
Something's not right here. And that's why we've got all these conspiracy theories now. Because what do you think people think now? They say, the major theory right now is that conspiracy theory is that Kate, something went wrong during her operation in hospital. So she passed away.
That's a conspiracy, of course.
Yes. Mm. And this photo is just, her kids were just standing there and they added her in afterwards. Yes.
Well,
or a double.
It could be.
So that's the theory.
But it could be they were sitting with someone else and they manipulated the photo so that it looked more like Kate
exactly.
or something like that.
So the question is, where is Kate?
I think the main thing for me is like the why.
Yeah.
You know, you release this photo, like the only photo they've seen in ages. It's like released by the royal family and it's
very suspicious
with
now.
Editing issues.
And yeah, like, this is adding
the biggest,
to
the most
suspicion.
Wealthiest family in the world, and you hired the semi-pro Photoshop guy. Not the semi-pro, just the guy who's just come out of high school.
You would think that they, when they release these photos, that a professional was involved, you know?
But for me, it's just like, if the motive, which is like, I did some editing to it. Like, the editing isn't the best, so I can be like, okay, maybe she tried to do some manipulation or something like that. But unless you explicitly try to add yourself into a photo where you didn't exist, or you took a photo and for some reason you changed your hands in the shirt that you were wearing, and you like, you even try to change what the background was, and like, you just did the most random amount of editing, I just don't believe you just played around with the edits.
Like, so what do you think happened here?
I don't think she's like missing in action or doesn't exist anymore. I just think she's not, if she was recently in hospital, so maybe she's not like photogenically there. Maybe she's not in a like a state, you know,
people
have ups and downs when you come out of hospital. She could be severely, you know, dehydrated, or she could just
not look
be frail.
Well, she's beautiful,
be skinny,
so
she
not
could,
as beautiful as always.
If you're known for being beautiful, you might not even want to show you might be super insecure, so it might be something like that, which I understand. Like, why must you force yourself to expose yourself at your worst because people don't think you're alive? So I get that. Manipulate the photo, do whatever you want, and I hope it's just that. But it's just very strange.
Did you hear the other theory?
What's the other theory? She's a superhero.
No, her head is actually wrapped up like a mummy after having a facelift. And obviously her eyes aren't even showing, so they can't take a photo of her.
Someone sit there just
she had
like,
a facelift. Oh, that's the biggest nonsense.
Someone just sitting at home typing on the keyboard and there's just smoke coming out because there's just so much rubbish.
Yeah.
Just,
you see, people are just looking for something to believe in, to sort of have control over what's happening. That's why you have conspiracy theories.
I just
theories.
Think the whole like, oh yeah, I edited my photo a little bit, like the whole confession, like ignore it. Like, don't say anything about the fact that you were like, I sometimes dabble. Like the dabble that people sometimes do and the thing that was done are not the same thing.
You know, the British love their tea, but this really was a storm in the
normally
teacup,
I wouldn't even
eh?
Participate in this, but having
I didn't expect you to bring this story to the table today.
Like, it's real. There's real, like, there are artifacts in that image. That
so, okay, okay, I'm going to go and study it again. Because I must be honest, I didn't at first see anything. The first thing that struck me was, geez, these children are big. They grew so quickly. That's all I thought about.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at the TikTok CEO who made a video for the US populace amongst the TikTok ban. We're going to be taking a look at Niantic, who's the IP owners for Pokemon and that game. We have some feedback on the creator of Bitcoin and who he is. And then we have something as well that we'll touch on, which is Apple, which is acquiring an AI company. What are they doing?
And
they gave
the
up
AI.
Their car company. Why are they buying an AI company now? We'll find out.
Awesome. When we come back. Welcome back to Tech Plus. It's Ion with you and also Kane discussing the week's biggest tech stories. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Hello. So, this is just for me. It's crazy. I've never seen this before. I think the only reason we've never seen this before is the majority of social media platforms are American-owned. Right? Mm. But here we have a Chinese-owned social media company. And they're not just going to get steamrolled.
Mm.
I think when you're an American company and you're facing pressure from American governments, you tend to roll over. What else do? You start trying to take a fight, to take a stand against
the most powerful government in the world, and you're just a person and with a company. But TikTok, being, you know, the CEO of TikTok, you don't have any kind of, you don't fear legislation from American government. You don't have family and children that go to school, and you know, you don't have this whole ecosystem around you that you're worried about tumbling down. So you might take a different approach to defending your company in light of America trying to ban it. For anyone who doesn't know, America's back at it again, like a bad habit, trying to ban TikTok.
Is it true that they came really close to banning it this week, closer than before?
Well, they're moving on to the next phase.
It's got a few hoops to still go through before it's signed off by the president.
And they're making it,
getting close.
I think it's going to Senate now. So I think it goes to...
So it's getting very close, eh?
Yeah.
So do you think that the influencers in America who rely on TikTok for income, do you think they're panicking now?
Here's the thing, it's not even my opinion. It's just I watched a video on TikTok from an American citizen who had something to say about this, and it's so true. What he basically did is he went and showed all the people. He took an up close video while the TV was playing of all the people who are responsible for deciding whether or not TikTok stays or goes.
Mm.
Okay. They're politicians, they're all sorts of different individuals. But one thing is alarmingly the same for all of them. They all look like they're over the age of 50. And some even up to 70, 80, okay? And don't get me wrong, like, no offense to anybody who's in that age demographic, but the people who use TikTok are not in that age demographic. Mm-mm. The people that made TikTok successful are not in that age demographic. And the reality is that you're making a decision that affects those people based on an experience that you don't have. You know, you have no ability. Like, some of these people don't even know how to share a Wi-Fi password.
Exactly.
Some of these people don't even know what an MP4 file is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people don't even know what an ad network is. We had people in Congress in America...
Yep.
Literally, almost last year.
It shows, eh? You can see they don't know what
they don't know what they're talking about. And what was even worse for me is one of the motives behind why one of the guys felt that TikTok deserved to be banned is because it had properties. TikTok's ad network had an ability. You had an ability on TikTok's ad network to get a message in front of someone by targeting an audience and basically paying per view or per click or per action. He was basically describing an ad network. The thing that made Google successful and made it all its money was because it's an ad network.
Mm.
So to stand up there and say TikTok is bad because it has an ad network, because this is the first time I'm hearing about an ad network, when Google stands there having had ad network for 10 years, same thing, much more established. It's just there are people who are making decisions who aren't involved.
You're right.
And the reality also is that they are truly scared. It's not this big TikTok bad, let's stop China. It's like they genuinely think that their information isn't safe.
Mm-hmm.
They genuinely think that that TikTok can control what content American citizens see. The fear is real. Like they are genuinely concerned, but it is not rooted in understanding of the fundamental technologies. The problem is that it is a Chinese-owned app. The problem is that China does have access to that data.
Mm.
And they might be listening into us, but so is Facebook. So is YouTube. So is everyone. Go do a social experiment for yourself and open up Instagram and just go speak to a friend of yours and just throw in some keywords.
Mm.
Like, throw in dog food enough times and you will get a dog food ad. They're not listening to you. There's not an FBI guy on your phone taking notes on everything you say. It's good predictive behavioral analysis.
Yeah.
They are listening to your mic, but no one's hearing what you're saying.
It's not that it's kind of listening.
It's not listening and recording and saving.
Yeah.
It's just interpreting
it's
and actioning.
Yeah.
It's like there's no... I don't listen to your conversation, take 5 notes about your conversation, and then look through all my ads and find an ad that is similar to one of the 5 things that you spoke about and then send you that ad. I just hear you talk about something, therefore you get this ad. It's all automated. It's not, there's no privacy being broken.
Yeah, no actual audio recording of your voice.
So the TikTok CEO, let's go back on track. What did he try and do? He tried to stop this from happening again. The first time, he did the same thing he did the second time they tried to ban him, which was basically make a video to all the US citizens and residents. And he said that they should make their voices heard. He said they should make their voices heard against a bill that could ban the app in the US. And he also went on to say that this could potentially affect people's income. This is also a way that people find information. It's problematic because it's an attack on anti-censorship laws. It infringes freedom of rights to information and data. It infringes on possible ability to maintain free speech in an uncensored way. So there's a lot of things that he has good points on, but it's also crazy. Imagine you're America. Imagine you're a concerned parent and someone in your child's classroom has made an app and all the kids in the class have this app, okay? And you're genuinely concerned that the things that they're putting on the app are being used in the wrong way. So you decide to try and ban the app. So then the maker of the app, which is your friend, your child's friend, goes and makes a video and releases it to everyone on the app that explains to everybody who's using the app how bad getting banned will be.
Mm.
And you as a parent are sitting there like, he's winning the argument. He's convincing those peers that this is a good app. And you're sitting there trying to take it away. You're becoming the enemy.
Yeah.
So the CEO of TikTok has an ability to turn Americans against America, not because he wants to, but because they're attacking him. So it's a hell of an interesting chess match because, as I said, no American company is doing the same thing.
Mm.
I don't see Facebook doing that.
No.
Or they go to court and fight in court and try and win the jury. He is winning 110 million Americans' hearts over. So it's a battle. We're going to see what happens. I think they're going to get banned, bro.
Really, hey?
I think they're going to get banned because of he's showing them how powerful the technology is indirectly.
Yeah.
He's showing them that there's an ability to get a message in front of people.
You know what China said as well, hey?
What's that?
China said if you ban it, there will be consequences. That really scares me.
Well,
Chinese people that mean business, hey?
That's so true. And you know what's crazy is, I mean, America has done its fair amount of banning Chinese stuff. You know, I actually had a piece today that I was going to speak to, but I don't think I actually ended up including it. But it actually was something that America had recently banned China for. And I just find it crazy. Here we go. I actually had it, dude.
Listen to this.
So in 2019, the CIA began a social engineering initiative whereby they created fake social media accounts and basically tried to troll. In layman's terms, troll means like to harass or make fun of or deflame. Or defame basically try to troll these Chinese officials and turn public opinion against them through leaked intelligence and negative news on social media. So you have it's like when you have someone in a relationship that's cheating on the other person and then they were always projecting that onto the other person. You know, this person's definitely cheating on me. I have a feeling. And I feel like it's the same thing. America is literally doing all this stuff to China, and then they're like, they must be doing it back to us. So we have to stop this app. So my question, my only follow-up question is, what have you guys been tracking from China that makes you feel that they would be retaliating to such a degree? You know, what did you do? Why are you so scared? Like, what is going on? You know, we don't know.
But do you know how hectic it is in China? Hey, they're not allowed even to have WhatsApp.
They use
or Telegram,
WeChat.
They don't have access to a lot of the social networks that we have. Also, for concerns that people are spying, hey?
I think it's in South Korea or North Korea. You can actually go to jail for having any kind of content, any media, any kind of consumable media content that is from South Korea.
It's very scary.
I think if you're in North Korea, then if you have a TV show from the other Korea, done, jail.
Yeah, they're quite hectic over
That's
there.
That's crazy. Hey?
That's a dictatorship there. But you know, I'm a bit worried about China because the people there, they use VPNs to access stuff like TikTok or whatever.
Yes.
And even sometimes they get like even clamped down on the VPNs. That happened this week as well. So you can't you can't even talk to someone in China. They're cut off completely.
That's just absolutely crazy, eh?
So they're also paranoid when it comes to spying.
And they have a completely different TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their TikTok is completely different. It's called something else.
But isn't it censorship, you know?
It is. It is. It is a completely... Their connected technologies are insane. And it's for the better and for the worse.
And they spy on you. Apparently, they really spy on you to make sure...
Well, they spy on you and tell you they're spying on you. Spy... Western world spy on each other and don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. So they tell you that they're actually watching you.
I saw the other day someone turned a flashlight into a microphone just because there's already enough... in there to turn to create a microphone. All a microphone does is take a vibration and turn it into digital input. So you can make a mic out of a lot of things you didn't expect to make a mic out.
Wow!
Like it has any amount of metal in it, probably can become a mic.
The vibration
and not bad. Like you can hear. I'll send you a video. We should put it on the website.
And you can still hear.
And you can literally turn anything into a mic.
Hectic.
Crazy, eh? But it's not going to be the best quality, but. It can be a mic. You can pull apart a screen from a TV screen. You can build a mic, basically.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. Anyway, Craig Wright. In this case, Craig Wrong. If anyone doesn't know who Craig Wright is, about 8 years ago, a guy came forward and said he was a creator of Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I'm Satoshi Nakamoto. He actually went on to say that Satoshi Nakamoto was a pseudonym and... You know, you really got to try and read into the history of Bitcoin in order to get a full idea. But basically, Satoshi Nakamoto was known as the creator of Bitcoin. And in 2009, he released something called the Bitcoin White Paper. And by 2011, they had done enough testing and proofing to basically start the domino effect that turned Bitcoin into the $70,000 Bitcoin asset that it is today. So about 8 years ago, Craig White comes forward, and he was actually one of like the ninth people to come forward and say that he was Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin. And 8 years later today, to make the plot even thicker, Jack Dorsey, who is the ex-CEO of Twitter, basically walked in the shoes that Elon Musk now fills. He went ahead and published on Twitter the results of this 8 year fight to try and prove that he's Satoshi Nakamoto. And basically what happened is after almost 8 years, they ruled that he is not the inventor of Bitcoin. He isn't the owner of the white paper. He didn't come up with the original idea. He didn't release and all that sort of stuff. And it's actually kind of fitting because I was actually there when this guy was out there literally saying he's Satoshi Nakamoto. And it's just crazy that that someone would you know, it's like there's this great invention that nobody really knows who made it. And you decide that it's your responsibility to claim the invention of this. Like, what motive do you have? Why do it? Why lie about it, you know?
Mm.
In pursuit of what? Fame. Imagine being famous for something you didn't do. Maybe imagine doing something so great. Imagine something so great is done and you get fame because you claim that you did it. But the guy who actually did it decided he's not going to ever be known. It's not.
Sounds like The Social Network.
It is. It is a bit like dark conspiracy. But to this day, nobody knows who created Bitcoin. And I don't think we ever will. Came out of nowhere. Maybe it was a time traveler. Just came, dropped it off, and headed on his merrily way. There's actually a guy called Satoshi Nakamoto that lives in China or Japan, and people used to harass this man. From like 2012 to like 2018, this man was like a celebrity.
Have you seen the Chinese version of Elon Musk?
Yeah.
They've got their own
Did
one.
You know that that's actually deep faked?
What?
Yeah.
It's not real.
It's not real. It's
I
all
thought it was
fake.
Real.
You know, it's all deep faked.
Ach, no, man.
I thought it was real.
I thought this guy really looked like him, you know?
No, it's deep faked.
No, he just shattered my...
It's all reality
my whole
crumble.
Idea there, y'all.
And on that note, that disturbing
note... On that note, it's time to crumble the show.
It's time to wrap it up.
Yes, indeed. In the meantime, to all the internet users, good luck. You will still experience some latency on... especially international websites.
Yep.
and just be patient. I know it's really hard to be patient. I'm sure the online gamers are not having a good time right now. Hey,
no,
with the higher latency.
On a Friday night, no.
Yeah, this whole weekend, I think you're going to have a lot of battles with.
It's a good thing Eskom has gone to stage one load shedding. Yeah, otherwise these guys might not have kept it together.
Yeah, at least that's working. Jeez, but anyway, that's the show for this week. And Kane, as always, thanks so much for popping in. And we will then see you again next week. Have a lekker weekend.
Great being here. Thanks so much for everyone listening. See you next week. Same time, same place.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.